Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Skate park was originally put out. There was supposed to be originally three phases to that skate park. You've got the right now. You've got the skate park where the bigger kids can play out there, but we have no place for our younger children for them to get out there. The ones that want to learn and do skateboarding, get out there and play. So there's really no place for them to do that.
This is City of Milton City Council, Shari Sebastio, raising a question of concern about the skate park, which, by the way, the skate park in Milton is one of the oldest skate parks in the area, and a very, very nice one. It's just a little bit small, you know, compared to the Pensacola one, which is brand new. And you say, well, why didn't you play the Milton music? Because it's not a Days of Our Milton. It's just an update on what's going on in the government. There's no drama here. There's a little bit, but there's no... You know, you got to earn the music, right? Just because we talk about Milton doesn't mean that you play the music. It might not be a Days of Our Milton episode. It might just be an update on city government.
I was out there looking at the skate park. I actually got to see, not something I wanted to see, was a group of girls jump another group of girls. So we had two girls get beat up by four other girls. It was all caught on video. The police were able to get involved and take care of it.
Wow. Brawl, you know, chick brawl at the skate park. That's not a good thing. But she has an interesting solution for this problem.
But when something like that goes down, then there's not a lot of adults out there. You know, you've got these kids out there skating on the skate park, and they're older, so they don't have adult parents out there with them. But if we have an area for a younger group of kids to learn to skate, there will also be more parents out there at the skate parks. With those parents out there supervising and watching what's going on, hopefully we won't have those kind of fights going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is actually a really smart idea. What she's saying is, you know, in the Pensacola skate park, there's that, like, learner's area. And the theory is there is no such thing at the Milton skate park. And so if you had that area, then the little kids would have a way to learn, a place to kind of practice on the, like, you know, bunny slope, basically. And that would also, because they're younger kids, would bring parents with them. And parents are eyeballs, and eyeballs are good for discouraging bad behavior. And if you had more eyeballs on the skate park in general, you're going to have, you know, fewer fights between the girls. I mean, or any other kinds of problems that you might have. So that's all good. Which, by the way, that's part of a broader observation about society that, you know, goes back, I mean, you know, decades, which is when women in World War II entered the workforce, and then post-World War II, when the GIs returned home and the women didn't really want to leave the workforce, and then, of course, much more into the 70s and 80s, the people who had historically been at home raising kids, watching the street, you know, feeding the kids and letting them play at the house, and, you know, you had supervisors all over the place. Well, streets and neighborhoods were safer because you had people watching. When those people went into the workforce and you started to have, like, latchkey kids and, you know, kids kind of taking care of themselves after school, the neighborhoods are not as safe. I mean, that doesn't mean that women shouldn't be working. That doesn't mean that it's, you know, a bad thing to have women working. It's just a sort of fact of life that if people who were in the homes and were watching, that made a certain kind of safety. And people are not in the homes and watching the kids or watching at all, you know, neighborhood watches and stuff like that. I mean, you get a different environment in terms of the outcome, which is basically what she's saying about the skate park is it'd be better to have more eyeballs there. Randy Jorgensen, the city manager.
Got some tremendous investments that are being made in and around the community center right now. If you have been there,
basketball court
today. We now have the surface on four basketball courts, and soon they'll be playable. There are many communities that are twice the size of the city of Milton that wish they had the amenities that we offer in just that area alone.
Yeah, I mean, for a smallish city, you know, there is a lot. I mean, Gulf Breeze is kind of ridiculous in the amount of facilities that it has, but Milton is growing in this regard for sure.
I think that the... The idea of having an area for younger people than can use the skate park as it's currently constituted is a good idea. I think the point on having parents drawn in is something that would lend itself to be true.
Yeah, I mean, all of that is right. One other just quick note, since we're kind of covering the city of Milton. They have been trying to get a natural gas street sweeper and were unable to do so and had to go with a diesel instead.
I was talking to Joe earlier. He did tell me, too, that they've got a truck that, you know, that is on order. So
yeah,
when that comes, that'll help out tremendously, too. So.
Yeah, the truck was to be natural gas. We waited a period of approximately 16 months, and they still couldn't tell us when it was coming. We're going back to fuel.
Yeah. Perfect. Thank
you. Unfortunately.
I know, that sucks.
The inability to get equipment has just been a plague for municipal government, for sure, for cities and counties both. 6:15 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Andrew, we are not seeing any major slowdowns on our roadways this morning. Just that typical morning traffic building up on the intersection of Palafox, if you're heading southbound, and Fairfield going eastbound. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own blues and soul singer Jordan Chase takes the stage. Jordan was featured on The Voice and American Idol. He's currently working on his first album with a Grammy Award-winning team from Nashville. See Jordan Chase at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for email, especially work-related email. As it has recently come to light, that one of the most stressful aspects of any job held by Generation Z employees is the terrifying task of replying to emails. Language learning platform Babbel surveyed 2,000 U.S. office workers and discovered that 36% of Gen Z professionals have more than 1,000 unread work emails in their inbox, compared to just 18% of office workers overall. The youngest respondent said that the anxiety experienced from feeling pressured to open emails, read emails, and especially respond to emails is so crippling that they compare it to being hunted down for sport. As one sufferer explained, "Email anxiety is so real. The hardest part of my job is writing emails. It will take me 30 minutes to draft and send a 3-sentence email. I can't live like this." Part of the anxiety comes from the felt need to execute grammatically correct English sentences in a formal communication context, as opposed to the informal, emoji and acronym-filled environments more familiar to Gen Zs, such as texts, chats, and slipping into someone's DMs. Dear Othryn, how long will we continue to inflict this suffering upon our poor young people? It is time we begin to study this terrible email aversion disorder in more depth to understand all the ways it adversely affects the quality of life of our young employees. There must be pharmaceutical solutions for alleviating the post-traumatic email syndrome they appear to be suffering. Perhaps there are specific therapies for sub-maladies such as sender's remorse, a debilitating malaise that affects as many as 20% of all Gen Zs who report very often regretting the emails they send. Similarly, if we can't find a way to stop marginalizing these victims of linguistic formality dysgraphia and figure out ways to accommodate them, counsel them, and probably compensate them for their suffering, I worry more and more of our young workers will simply say things like, "I just checked my email, now I'm going home sick." One additional note. Some of the more callous and bigoted among the older generations have already indicated disbelief and even skepticism about the legitimacy of PTES, but this is normal for the oppressors who perpetuate the patriarchy and constantly seek to other those who do not fit within their narrow definition of normal. For shame, elder normies, for shame. So down with email, up with the frail and feeble Gen Z computing class, and let us march boldly forward together into the noble promised land of the email free zone beyond the horizon. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, our deepest condolences for Pennsylvania resident Joey Henney. That's spelled J-O-I-E if you're keeping notes in the pew this morning. A terrible tragedy has befallen Joey, who recently took his 8-year-old emotional support alligator with him on a trip to visit a friend in Brunswick, Georgia. Joey put the dear companion named Wally in an enclosed yard, only to later discover the cuddly certified affection reptile missing. Apparently, the target of a trapper who captured him and released him into the wild, or at least that's what we hope he did. While the search for Wally continues, the chances of finding him again are growing as slim by the moment as a gator skin belt. Now, of course, we know that some people might hear this story and think it must be a joke that an alligator could be an actual licensed emotional support reptile, but I assure you, not only is it real, it's so beautiful. Because it reminds us of certain fundamental truths. The bond between Joey and Wally shows us that just as you cannot control whom you love, you cannot control from whom you get emotional stability. And no matter how unusual the relationship might seem to others, each of us must find companionship and comfort in our own unique way. Nevertheless, these scaly naysayers, whose compassion is apparently as tough as a custom cowboy boot, have no room in their cold-blooded hearts for such a relationship. But we optimistically look to the future, where an even more inclusive society will recognize the far wider array of creatures who might potentially bring us much-needed comfort in these stressful times. One day, perhaps, we will meet Zingy, the emotional support scorpion, or Stingy, the emotional support wasp, or Hester, the emotional support cobra, or Elmer, the emotional support brown recluse spider, or Fluffles, the emotional support pufferfish, or Pedro, the emotional support Portuguese man-of-war, or even Phil, the emotional support porcupine. You never know. And maybe, just maybe, one day we can become enlightened enough that when little Edna comes on the airplane with her colony of emotional support fire ants, we can all feel a little better about humanity for the relaxation on her face as she lets them crawl around on her arm after the fasten your seatbelt sign is turned off. What a wonderful world that would be. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, a loud blow on the vuvuzela of encouragement for our dear leader, President Biden, whose administration issued new guidance reminding employers that misgendering employees or denying them access to gender-affirming bathroom facilities would constitute workplace harassment under federal anti-discrimination law. Yes, the fine thought leaders at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission Monday released their first update in 25 years to workforce protections that prevent harassment of employees on the basis of protected characteristics such as race, religion, disability, age, national origin, and sex, which of course now includes pregnancy, sexual orientation, and gender identity. As the document explains, quote, repeated and intentional use of a name or pronoun inconsistent with the individual's known gender identity is a form of harassing conduct. This can include asking inappropriate questions about a worker's anatomy, haven't we all? Or sexual relationships, or deliberately engaging in pronoun violence by the use of incorrect labels. Incorrect, of course, as decided by the employee's sense of identity, not by the employee's body. Now, sadly, some believers in the immutable birth gender heresy and other gender blasphemies will say that forcing people to change their speech so as to not offend transgender co-workers is a First Amendment violation. To these apostates, we say, of course it is. But what could be more necessary than a recognition that there are limits to free speech? No one is allowed to shout fire in a crowded theater or make jokes about explosives while waiting in line at the airport. And just as true is the fact that no person should be allowed to yell he in a room full of thems, or to make jokes about she's in a theater full of zers, especially if the show is a musical. Besides, as we've explained over and over again, there's no downside to requiring people to say the right, kind, and affirming words, because coercing them to speak lovingly is just another mechanism of teaching them that obedience to authority is far more important than individual dissent and thinking for yourself. Duh. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please take a minute to encourage our dear other in Sam Billitson, who is feeling especially inadequate this week as they watch the brave campus protesters around the nation doing their part to fight the power through makeshift tent cities, random vandalism, and public urination. Sam has not been able to afford to travel to any of the colleges to join in the celebration, and they feel very, very guilty for not being present in person to validate the events on social media. Palestinian protest solidarity FOMO is a powerful and virtuous thing, my friends. Refreshments this week are provided by Dirtritos, the delightfully dusty tortilla chip made exclusively from the nutritional soils of the lower Mississippi River Delta. Specially shaped, seasoned, and baked for your tooth-chipping enjoyment, and now available in nacho cheese, cool ranch, and original Mississippi mud pie flavor. Whichever variety you choose will help scrub those pearly whites, bring much-needed earthy fiber to your lower intestines, and really clean you out good. As they say at Dirtritos, just pop one in your mouth, then grit and bear it. Dirtritos, you can really taste the virtue.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
627 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy's got traffic for us.
We are looking pretty good on our roadways this morning. No accidents or major slowdowns in Pensacola. If you're coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you're clear on 98 all the way through to Pensacola. And that is the same for Pace and Milton. You might see a little bit of a slowdown on the bridge coming southbound on 90 if you're coming in from Pace, but clearing up right as you get into Pensacola. And if you're heading in from Bayfront or Gulf Beach Highway, rather, you are good to go all the way into town. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Going down to the newsroom where David Wayne is eagerly awaiting to reply to your emails with our headlines. David?
That's right. I just want some of those Dirtritos.
Don't they sound great?
Oh, sounds amazing.
Mississippi mud pie flavor is my favorite.
President Biden announcing a $3 billion plan to replace lead pipes. He made that announcement during a campaign stop in North Carolina yesterday. The plan, he said, would improve public health and provide clean drinking water. The EPA says it would affect about 2 million pipes across the nation. A California boat captain is going to prison after 34 people died on his burning boat. Jerry Boylan was sentenced to 4 years in prison yesterday. He was convicted of negligence. His boat apparently was anchored off the California coast when it caught on fire in 2019. He was the first person to abandon ship, leaving it burning with 33 passengers and a crew member all sleeping below deck.
Oh, my God. Wow.
And country music star Morgan Wallen apparently not going to be in court today after allegedly throwing a chair from a six-story rooftop bar last month in Nashville. He was charged with reckless endangerment and disorderly conduct. He pled not guilty. He won't be in court, but his attorney will to appear on his behalf.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 629 here on News Radio Pensacola. If you need heating, electrical, or, you know, air conditioning or plumbing work done, Peden does all of those things, does them professionally, shows up on time, takes care of you, and then they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee to stand behind all of their work. And as evidence of the success, they have been expanding to the east all the way to Tallahassee, and they've gone recently to the west. They're going to Baldwin County last year and then all the way to Mobile as of this year. That's something that they just recently They managed to go all the way to Mobile. So, you know, you can get service anywhere in the central time zone, all the way east to Tallahassee and beyond, and then all the way west into Mobile. And now, this month, the special they have, you can get the best price of the year on Briggs & Stratton standby generators before storm season begins. That's $25 off through the month of May. And to celebrate 55 years in business, Peden is offering a complete AC tune-up for $55. Just call today and schedule your $55 AC tune-up. Find out more or schedule your appointment at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. Well, we were on concurrency watch for County Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, and would he announce that? And yesterday, he did say that he is interested in officially in the meeting. And what did the other commissioners say? And what's the implication for what they talked about in the agenda review session? I'll tell you about that coming up next. Very interesting conversation that they had for quite an extended time during the agenda review yesterday morning. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, an arrest made. Tell you more.
Fox News. This posture, pro-Palestinian protesters are being arrested at New York University this morning. Fox's Molly Line.
NYU leaders urged the protesters here to pick up their belongings and leave. They have not. These demonstrators demanding the school divulge and divest and end academic association with Israel. This is the second NYU location where anti-Israel protesters have embedded themselves after arrests last week on a plaza by the business school.
More than 2,000 on-campus protesters were arrested nationwide in the last 2 weeks. Jurors at former President Trump's criminal trial in New York hear a recorded phone conversation about a hush money payment.
Trump can be heard talking about the deal to silence Playboy playmate Karen McDougal's claims of their affair. The defense will point out there is no mention of the alleged conspiracy to influence the election, and they can also claim it was a standard non-disclosure agreement that he was making.
Fox's Eric Schoen. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we have partly cloudy skies, and it is a beautiful morning, 72 degrees across the area right now. A Pensacola man has been arrested on a warrant for a fatal crash. Now, this happened last fall. The Florida Highway Patrol says Dwayne Michael Floyd is charged with one count of vehicular homicide in the case. Investigators say October of last year, Floyd was driving a Dodge Charger on I-110. He was going between 130 to 150 miles per hour when he lost control, causing that vehicle to flip several times. A passenger was sitting in the back seat, was killed. Another passenger suffered serious injuries in this crash, and the Florida Highway Patrol says Floyd turned himself in this week. Well, the million-dollar question, maybe the $300 million question.
I mean, I know we're spending $300 million over in Mobile. I want to be competitive. I want to give you the resources that you need. And obviously, it
absolutely TDC, understand.
You know, but do you have what you need? I don't want to be here a year from now and people come down complaining that we put a Band-Aid on it or we put lipstick on a pig. I mean, do you have what you need?
Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May, that is the board, approved $10 million in tourist development tax dollars, which is going to go towards upgrades at the Pensacola Bay Center. The answer to the question from arena manager Michael Capps, yes and no. He says they have a multi-phased plan to upgrade the arena. The $10 million would just be the first part of that plan. The mayor of Century says there's no issue with the town's water quality.
I stated that months ago, and I'll stand by it because we have actual evidence that the water is safe. We're doing everything that we need to do to make sure that the public is safe.
Luis Gomez Jr. talked with Channel 3. Now, this comes after the Florida Department of Environmental Protection notified the town last week that the water hadn't been tested for over 30 different contaminants in over a year. The report went on to say, "We cannot be sure of the quality of our drinking water during that time." Gomez says, while there were issues with the sampling and record keeping, the water was never contaminated. Florida joining half the states in the U.S. with a new law signed by the governor yesterday, which allows credit unions to become qualified public depositories. That means they could receive municipal funds for deposit.
Credit unions like the ones here today will be able to hold up to 7% of all funds in the state treasury and 7% of all public deposits of any state university or community college.
And DeSantis says the law, which goes into effect in July, will protect Floridians from environmental, social, and corporate governance. He says ESG is an effort to inject woke political ideology across the financial sector. About a dozen arrests were made after a pro-Palestine protest in Jacksonville yesterday. The arrests were made late last night at the University of North Florida after the protesters violated a curfew. First Coast News reports between 10 and 15 people were arrested by campus police and the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. No violence was reported at that protest. 6:35, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Well, if you're heading eastbound on I-10 at mile marker 12, there is a disabled vehicle in the road. The roadway is blocked, so please use caution in that area. Otherwise, not seeing too much on our roadways this morning. Maybe just some of that morning traffic building up. Specifically going southbound on Palafox in between Fairfield and Tahar Drive at those intersections. So you might expect some delays through there. Gulf Breeze and Navarre, if you're coming into Pensacola, you're looking good. And that's the same for Pace and Milton. Not showing too much buildup in there either. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. On Saturday, high near 84 with partly cloudy skies. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. We're going to round out the weekend with some beautiful weather, mostly sunny skies, high near 84. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 74 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola. FM 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Chinese automakers can't afford to take it easy in the country's electric car boom if they want to survive. Adoption of battery and hybrid-powered cars has surged in China, but an onslaught of new models has fueled a price war that forced Tesla to cut its prices. While Chinese automakers also look overseas for growth, other countries are investing in local production. For all EV makers, it is now survival of the fittest. Mark Houghton, GAM's investment director focused on technology, said expectations surrounding the capabilities of Tesla's full self-driving product in China are misleading. Houghton said full self-driving lacks the qualities that would make it an example of truly self-driving technology because drivers still need to pay attention and be ready to intervene. Earlier this week, shares of Tesla rose after it passed a significant milestone toward the launch of FSD in China. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
This ad furnished by Nesmontage LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around, and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
You're a storyteller, negotiator, artist, innovator. Whatever your passion, whatever your skills, behind the scenes, or in front. You belong here. A career in broadcast media. Local radio and TV stations in every town and city need someone like you. So do what you love and bring your talent to life. Your passion, your skills, your career. You belong here. Learn more at youbelonghere.media.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Jojo was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last. Jojo left his home in Tucson, Arizona, for some California grass.
Understand we're a growing community. I'm not anti-growth. I'm actually pro-growth, but it has to be done intelligently. Right now, we're the only large county in the state that does not have both the local option sales tax and some form of transportation mobility fees, concurrency, or impact fees. Now, in Beulah, which has absorbed most of the growth that we've had, I mean, the lion's share of it over the last 10 years, I would say, has been out in Beulah. To a lesser degree, some portions of District 5 are growing quickly as well. But they're building 400 single-family homes within a quarter mile of Beulah Elementary School on Helms Road. This board has no say in it. It's going to be approved, and it meets our existing land development code.
Commissioner Jeff Burgosh, running for re-election, has been in office for 8 years. Commissioners Lumen May and Stephen Barry are also running for re-election. They've been in office for 12 years. That's an important contextual note in thinking about all of the various issues that they seem now to be willing to start to tackle in terms of looking at impact fees, concurrency, and mobility fees. They're all slightly different. We'll talk about what they each mean differently as we go along. But, Jeff says that he's talked to Kevin Adams. He calls him his counterpart on the school board, but that's who that is. That he wants the concurrency back for the crowded schools, because if you throw 400 new houses down next to Beulah Elementary, that's a problem for an already overcrowded school. And he says, look, it's time to do something. People want something. Impact fees, concurrency, mobility fees, something.
We need to do something. The people want it. We deserve it.
Okay. All right. So he says, you know, even if developers don't like it.
Developers don't like it because it costs them money. It makes them think. It makes them think about the impact that they're having. But I think this board needs to take some action in that direction.
Do keep in mind that Jeff Burgosh's support base is heavily populated by very well-known builders. He gets a lot of his campaign money from builders. Now, I don't mind builders giving money to campaigns. That's legal. You know, they've got to support somebody, and they have historically supported him quite a bit. So when you hear him talk about, you know, being kind of restraining the builders and reining them in, that could be genuine expressions. That could also be lip service to something that he knows he has to say and they know he has to say in order to get reelected. And then the question is, does anything get done about it? And, I mean, that's always going to be a question. Does anything actually get done? But he said all the right things yesterday, for sure. And I said I would praise him. I will praise him for talking about it, and I will praise him for bringing it if he actually brings the item before the primary election. That's where you're going to decide which Republican you're going to put in office in District 1 come the fall, and that's going to be the ultimate test. But, yeah, he was saying all the right things yesterday.
Two examples. Altura, a giant subdivision impacting the roads down in Perdido. Now you've got another one impacting the roads in Beulah, and this board has no say whatsoever.
And that's the point, is there are different cases where this has failed so far.
I'm up for election right now, and I'm bringing it again. I'll never, hey, look, there will always be people that no matter what I do, they will, you know, they will lob insults. But I've done it after the election, now I'm doing it before the election.
Yeah, and you know, I am often very critical of Jeff Burgosh, and I have said about this topic in particular that I worry that it's just an election stunt, but if he brings it, I will praise him for it. And if he talks about it, I will praise him for talking about it. And I will, again, keep in context, he's had 8 years and hasn't done it yet. Or the rest of the board has thwarted him, however you want to see that. You know, that's why I mentioned how long that Lumen May and Stephen Barry have been on the board as well. You know, they have largely presided over the county's unrestricted growth policy, which has created the traffic problems. And even if you think that we need to build homes, and I do, the question is, has the county been doing its job in keeping up with that growth? You know, you look at something like Nine Mile, which now doesn't hurt, but did for an awful long time, and other roads around the area where you think, man, they just didn't, you know, how's Pinecone looking to you? How's 297 and 97? How is Pine Forest working for you? How about Palafox, you know, outside of the city, right? These are questions that you want to ask. But again, he says, look, builders won't like it, but they make plenty of money.
I think we have a problem. Other counties have figured this out, just like they figured out the 5th cent and the 6th cent. We can figure this out. Developers ain't going to like it. Home builders ain't going to like it, but they make plenty of money, and this will be passed on as a cost. But it's not like we're doing something or we would be implementing something that's unheard of. That's the discussion I'd like to have, and I'd like to know if I have support.
All right, so how did the other board members react to that? We'll talk about that in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
If you are traveling eastbound on I-10 at mile marker 12, there is a disabled vehicle in the roadway, and it's right before the Davis Highway exit, right after you have the option to merge onto I-10 and head southbound. So be cautious of that. It's unclear as to if there are, you know, multiple lanes blocked, but just use caution. Also, traffic building up on Scenic Highway right before I-10 if you're heading southbound. It's right before I-10 there, right outside that Dollar General right there. So use caution in that area too. We're not seeing anything else. Everywhere else is looking pretty good. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report presented by Pensacola Christian Academy, now enrolling 4 and 5-year-olds for kindergarten. Register now, enrollpca.com, the area's premier kindergarten learning program. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Now, I have, in case you haven't been listening to the show a lot, I have announced that we are on concurrency watch here on the Pensacola Morning News because Jeff Bergosh has made such an issue out of this. We are day 44 and now 4 meetings, and that since he announced that he was going to pursue this policy, but we have not yet had an actual introduction of the item, and we will stay on the watch until the item is actually voted on. Talking about it is good. That's a first step, but talking about it is not action. So how did the other board members respond? Stephen Barry, District 5, who has historically been completely averse to any of this stuff.
The pendulum changes, you know, the pendulum swings, and you know, the pendulum, I think, has swung to the point that we can have that you know, we can have a conversation.
What is the pendulum here, though, I wonder? Because a fair comment, but I think what he means is that the pendulum inside of my own assessment of the political necessity, because people have been asking for this for quite some time. It's his own unwillingness, I think, to put it in. That's the only thing that's really changed. It's not like suddenly people are in favor of this. They've been in favor of this for several years. We've been hearing this for years and years. It's more his response to it.
No, I think the pendulum has swung where the conversation can be had. So I'd, you know, be curious to let's put together a little bit of a spreadsheet of what other communities in the Panhandle, you know, other counties in the Panhandle have done and see what they've implemented.
My one thought about the pendulum swing in the conversation can be had. I'm not, again, I don't know what that means, who's permitting or not permitting this conversation. I wonder if he means that among also his builder support base, that those folks are okay with him having this conversation, which is, I don't know what else he means, honestly. But okay, after 12 years, now it's finally okay to have this conversation, I suppose.
These fees, whether they're impact fees, traffic mobility fees, or whatever, they're not going to impact builders and developers. That's not going to impact their bottom line at all. It's not there's a very, you know, popular narrative on social media that says, well, you know, make them pay. That's not how their businesses work. That's not what they, you know, they're, if anyone thinks they're going to eat the expense to the detriment of their bottom line, that's not how they put together performance for projects. The outcome may be that they don't do a project. That is an outcome.
I agree with him. His analysis here is correct. I think there is a sentiment among some that they're going to make the wicked builders. Builders aren't wicked. They're responding to, you know, market demand. What you're going to do is you're going to make, eventually, the purchasers of these homes are going to be the ones who are going to pay. And the issue here is basically that somebody needs to pay it shouldn't be the people who already live here suffering either through a failure to have appropriate infrastructure or through using tax resources to make it possible for people to build houses that make it so we have worse infrastructure, right? It's the idea is the people who are creating the issue need to be the ones who kind of solve the issue rather than displacing the unpleasantness onto everybody else. That's the basic idea. But no, I actually agree with him on this analysis.
It's not going to result in developers making less money. It may result in less product on the ground. That's certainly a reasonable thought that that's an outcome.
Right.
And the other outcome is that, our residents will be paying more for the product that is on the ground.
That's correct. There might be fewer houses built, and people might have to pay more for the houses that do get built. The trade-off, again, of course, is that, yes, but we won't be creating as many problems for particularly roads or stormwater or, in a slightly different issue, not the one under discussion today, but school capacity, you know, all of these things, right? So I actually agree with him about that. He said he is on board with the conversation. So then we have, well, what about the others? Commissioner Kohler said that he is on board. That's three votes. Lumen May?
And Jeff, the long and short, you'll have my support to move forward and at least having Joy's team and Chris Field explore it. But I will say this. I mean, development comes and infrastructure follows most of the time. I mean, you never keep up. And it's a thing called growing pains. You know, I mean, and I have those things where I'm going down Davis Highway or I'm going down Highway 29, traffic. I mean, it never moves as fast as anybody wants it to move.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be that way, right? I mean, that's the point of trying to develop smart development, the point of concurrency and to some degree mobility fees and to some even lesser degree than that impact fees. The whole idea is to kind of solve these problems before they're problems.
There's a difference between an infill builder and someone who's building in a CRA versus an outside multi-development developer from South Florida who comes here and increases, you know, capacity by, you know, 500 units. I mean, the impact on the roads there is a lot more significant than one infill building, one infill house of a local small contractor.
Okay, so this is an apples to oranges comparison, right? One versus many already means it's not a fair comparison, but he is correct. Infill, that's where you take an empty lot and you build on it, right? You're already, it's only one at a time, it's sporadic, and it's within existing infrastructure, so it should be fine. It's the brand new development of 200, 300, 400 homes or townhomes. It makes such a big difference to existing infrastructure. The local versus out of town, well, he is a local small builder who does mostly infill building in the CRA, so it's a little bit self-serving to talk about that being okay and those horrible, terrible out-of-town people are the bad guys, right? But there's some truth to it at the same time. But pay attention to this next comment, because again, this is the first time that you've heard from either Stephen Barry or Lumen May that they're in favor of this. Remember, Lumen's a builder, so does he like impact fees? Not particularly. But I think we are in an election season where all three of these guys are at least mildly, if not seriously, concerned about their electoral prospects. I'm not sure why Lumen would be, since he won at 90% last time around, but apparently they are, and they're eager to do whatever it takes to stay elected, which, I mean, you want politicians who are responsive, right? That's better than the alternative. But here's, pay attention, because the question is not will they say the right things. The question is not will they bring this up for a discussion or even to a vote. The question is will it get done in a way that makes a difference? And even if it does, to what degree do you blame them for the problem, having presided over the situation for 8 or 12 years, right? But okay, here's what Lumen said right towards the end. And I thought this is the comment to watch out for, I think.
Yeah, my support to at least let's have the conversation. But, I mean, it shouldn't just be a traffic and an engineering conversation. I mean, there's a human factor to it. There's a small business factor to it. And so, I mean, it should be a team. I mean, and we could have Wes put together his staff to come back, to put all of the groups to come back, with not just an engineering or traffic congestion or traffic pattern, but to come back and look at the overall good for this community. So with that, Jeff, you'd find my support. If we could be inclusive with all these different departments. And not only that, I mean, community input as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's your various possibilities. Possibility number one, the Board of County Commissioners are going to do the right thing, have this conversation, and implement some kind of plan for managing growth in a wiser way than they have done. They've heard the scare lesson out of Perdido City that didn't happen, but the lesson there was we want managed growth. They've heard all of the criticisms of all of the traffic problems, and again, After all of these years, they're finally willing to do something about it because they need to do that in order to get reelected. Which, again, that's being responsive to the problems, maybe just not in a timely way. Okay, so they're going to bring this for a vote. They're going to do something. It's going to help solve the problem before the election when we can actually make a decision about who we want to put back in the seat. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility is they're going to talk about it real good, and then we're going to get to a place where they win their primaries, and, of course, the general election is a foregone conclusion if you win your primary in Escambia County, and then it'll kind of fade away, or it just won't really, you won't have consensus anymore, or, as Lumen mentions, or seems to be mentioning, we're going to get everybody involved in this. We're going to get all of the developmental folks in this. We're going to get the community involved. We're going to get the interested parties. We're going to get the employers involved. And it is going to die a thousand cuts, paper cuts in committee, because we're not going to be able to get all of these people on board with something simple. I don't know which of these outcomes to look for. I don't know which to believe. I'm a trusting person. I'm a believing person. I'm a give grace person. I want to believe that they're serious. I want to believe that this is not just electioneering. I want to believe that they're willing to do something at long last. And I hope they do. And I will praise them if they do. And we will stop concurrency watch when there's a vote. But we are still at 44 days and four meetings right now without a vote on it. And let's just, you know, keep watching. By the way, quick note. I can't really do this in the short amount of time, but impact fee would put a price tag on a new house that you have to pay as a flat fee. A mobility fee would try to assess the cost of the impact on the travel, okay? Not just the new building, but in general, your impact as a share of the overall cost of maintaining travel. And then concurrency would say you have to have the capacity in place before you can build the home. All three of them have value. Some combination of all of them, none of them are perfect. Some combination of them all is likely what it's going to take to make this stuff work. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
Andrew, we're looking pretty good on our roadways this morning. There was a disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound right at mile marker 12. The roadway was blocked. Doesn't seem to be any traffic slowdown. And just seeing some of that morning traffic, especially building up on Blue Angel Parkway and Mobile Highway. So if you're traveling north on Blue Angel Parkway, be cautious of that. If you see anything else on the roadways, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Wrap up your day with all of the national, state, local sports and entertainment news with Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin on News Radio 92.3.
Bring out the helmets and bring out the best.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio Pensacola. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Manhattan District Attorney's Office confirming an officer did fire a gunshot while police were clearing protesters out of Columbia University's Hamilton Hall on Tuesday. This comes after city officials described it as a calm and precise operation. Sources do say it was a single shot and nobody was hurt.
And by mistake, I heard. Which is extra concerning, weirdly. Like, an on-purpose shot is one thing, but a oopsie! That's just not what you want from the police.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.